You are the man now. Dog, 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 you are the man now. Dog.
Oh, hey, everybody. Happy afternoon or evening or maybe morning for the early birds. And welcome back to the Man Dog Pod, hosted by myself, Ryan Rosenberg, and my good buddy here, Mr. Dan Lippert. Hey, Dan.
Senor. How are you doing?
Senor, I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm all right. When do you think most people listen, the majority of people listen to podcasts? Or I'll even say our podcast.
I would say like a morning drive, afternoon drive, or at work, or cleaning the house.
I don't imagine a lot of night listening of a podcast unless you're on the road.
Right.
It doesn't seem like podcast time.
Right. Maybe some people who like sort of live on their computer and like do all their entertainment that way, they just have one in the background.
Yeah, that's true too, which I can't do.
No. Too much. What I can't do is curate all my podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
I like having TV because I can just turn it on and something's on.
Yeah.
I have a hard time with the choosing.
That's the thing is I usually just have one podcast I'm listening to.
Yeah.
And I'll just listen and then I'll kind of burn out on it.
Right.
And right now it's like NBA trade season and free agent season. So I'll listen to like basketball podcasts and just have people listen to people talk about that.
Well, regardless of when you're listening, thanks for not burning out and listening to the Man Dog Pod. We're here to do a little bit of improvised comedy today, as we're known to do.
Today's the improv ep.
That's right.
And you said it. So, we're just going to chat and maybe do some improv scenes off of our little convos. This is
old school.
I was just going to say.
This is old school, back into the office where the original sword was forged.
This is where you have to go back to and talk to Dinklage to get him to make you the new one if you lose the old one.
And you're talking about Thor?
Yeah, Thor had to get so, or I don't remember what happened.
I'm also watching Game of Thrones now. I'm in the middle of a rewatch.
So you'll have spent so much of your life watching Game of Thrones, which is fine. I've spent so much of mine watching shit. So
yes. Well, I'm just kind of always on a rewatch now.
Yeah.
Like I pick a thing that I'm sort of going back through that I guess is just to make me feel comfortable or something. But I feel like the first time on Game of Thrones, I missed the beginning because I was like, who are all these characters and what world is this? So I didn't really watch until like late. So now I'm sort of redoing and it's pretty good.
And
I don't know if you know the show. It's pretty good.
Oh, is it? Yeah. I think I got probably five or six into the first season. Here's a first season spoiler. I got probably two episodes past where they push the kid off. Or where the kid wakes up, maybe. And I found it really hard to follow.
It is.
Which I'm told is very common.
It is. That's kind of why I'm rewatching, because by the end I ended up really liking it.
Yeah.
But I was like, I need context, because I still don't even get it, really.
I think, thinking about it, this just popped into my head and I might be wrong, but I had mentioned a couple weeks ago, I'm reading that book, Swim in the Pond in the Rain or something by George Saunders. And he talks about how like every story, every new piece of information in a story should like bring up questions and curiosities in some sort of way, or they inherently do, whether or not they're meant to.
Sure.
And I think I felt with Game of Thrones that I wasn't curious about where it was going.
Yeah.
I didn't have any questions about anybody.
Right.
And I didn't feel like that was happening. But at a certain point when you're not a part of a phenomenon, it's like, all right, do I join it or am I done forever?
Right. You have to sort of jump in or jump out.
Yeah.
I've been sort of jumping back into stuff that I missed. I also watched for the first time all the Harry Potters, which we talked about on here.
I would like to do that.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I watched them when they weren't on any of the streaming services. So we were renting them one by one. I think right now they're all on HBO Go or HBO. Whatever.
Yeah, I checked maybe three-ish weeks ago and they were not.
Ooh.
Maybe even a month or so ago because I was in that mood. Maybe because you brought it up. I was like, well, I can rewatch things too.
Yeah. I
can
do this.
I can watch Harry Potter. Ryan doesn't own that.
Right.
No, so that's a good one. Everybody that said it's good is right.
Super fun. I mean, it's like they're like really good kids movies. They kind of live in that Pixar world where it's like, who is this for? I guess we all like it.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I like them.
Well, for the book club today, we got first of all, we got some nice snacks, wine, coffee, or whatever everyone's in the mood for, LaCroix.
It's quite a spread. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. I am a consummate host. I was raised in a family where it's, you know, it's about respect, I guess. And so, yeah, please enjoy the watermelon, hummus, whatever you want there. All right, so the book, I guess we get into it, the Harry Potter series.
Yes, right. Now, we're just doing the first one today, right?
Yes, just the first one.
Right.
And I should be totally honest, I'm not going to read these. I feel that, it's a little too much in the cultural milieu, and it feels like I get it already. So I'll contribute based on what I already kind of understand about it, because I think I basically get it.
Okay. Well, then why don't you lead us off? Why don't you start us with your take?
Well, the boy's a wizard, and I think we've seen it all before. Well, we've seen wizard tales a million times, from Gandalf to
So you're not actually Mr. talking wizard. About the book, just sort of that it shouldn't have the right to exist?
Well, no, I just, you know, what are we saying here that's new? Everybody talks about it all the time, and it's like, who cares? What about...
Well, there's actually a lot of new stuff in here. I think there's a lot of cool allegories for society, you know what I mean? Within Hogwarts, which is the school that Harry goes to.
The pig place where all the pigs live.
There aren't pigs there.
Oh, well, I was just assuming because of the name.
Right. It sounds like... You're not really getting much out of the book by not reading it, I must say.
No, I think I want to go ahead with your metaphor because I think this might be interesting. Maybe I should give it a second chance.
Well, at Hogwarts, which is the school that all the young wizards go to if they're lucky enough to get invited.
Not where the pigs are with, I guess, frog pigs or warts
or whatever.
Yeah, I don't
think you need to explain that to any of the rest of us. We all read the book, so we don't confuse Hogwarts with a house for pigs.
Great. Okay.
Well, within that school, they're divided up into different sort of clubs, the Ravenclaw, three other ones that I don't quite remember. I'm a little foggy. I read it. and it's really interesting because each one sort of represents like a different archetype, you know what I mean, of like a person in society or whatever. And the further you go down, there's definitely some social allegory there.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? You know what had a lot of good social allegory? The Sandman, the Sandman graphic novels. Now that was an interesting way to tell a story.
I remember that was your first choice for book club when we started 6 months ago.
Yeah,
you did a lot of graphic novels, it seemed like.
Yeah, well, because tales can be told in different ways, and I want to say I appreciate. I mean, you know, sometimes when you invite someone's partner into a book club, it can be uncomfortable because it's a community.
Right.
You've welcomed me happily here.
Oh, of course.
And I really appreciate it. You all read Sandman with glee because it was a great choice and not as, you know, on the nose as maybe, I can't remember who chose Harry Potter, but that is on the nose, I guess.
Right. I guess so. Well, D'Artagnan, we're happy to have you here. And we really appreciate your insightful, if not, harsh critiques of all the books.
Named, of course, after one of the Three Musketeers, one of the great French novels about swashbuckling and all for one and one for all, really.
Swashbuckling is pirates, right?
It's been a while since I've read... well, they're musketeers, so they have muskets, I'm guessing, at some point. Oh,
well,
I know, I mean.
They're swordsmen.
Well, we all know the Musketeers.
Why do you do this? Why do you?
What do you mean?
Why do you come to the book club and have such a fantastic spread and have us all over, but then sort of refuse to engage with the content of the story? I'm just because you're such a smart guy.
You're misunderstanding me, I think.
Okay.
I am trying to welcome you in to the way I see the world.
Oh.
Because I feel, you know, we have been brainwashed by the Disneyfication of storytelling.
I see.
Harry Potter, children, Radcliffe.
Right.
So
you want us to all read the same book to get on the same page about the thing we discuss, and then you'd rather talk about something else.
Well, I started Harry Potter, and then I thought, I get it.
Did it intimidate you? Is that what it is? When you open the book, you're like, oh, this is a kid's book. It'll be easy. But then you crack it and you're like, oh, wait a second. There are some adult themes here. This is more challenging than I thought.
No.
That wasn't.
No.
That
wasn't I will say, to your point, you know, graphic novels have some pictures that if you're not understanding the content, you can look at the beautiful little pictures. Mm-hmm. And I was disappointed because I had heard this was a kid's book. There are so few pictures.
And you can read. Let's just talk about this real quick. He can read, folks. D'Artagnan can read.
I think that's not even a question.
Right.
That is not even a question.
It is an assumption. I assume you can read.
It is not. It is almost disgusting to even think that I couldn't read at all. Now, of course, my suggestions have been, you know, it was the Sandman books. It was the Watchmen.
Berenstain Bears.
Which, speaking of allegories, they go to school, they go to the beach, they go to the park.
Which I think are plot points, not allegories for anything else. Huh. I don't think when the Berenstain Bears go to the park, they mean something else.
Huh.
I think those are kind of literal stories for children to learn about the easy comings and goings of life.
Okay, well, you brought a kid's book, and I'm stupid for not knowing it, but I bring a kid's book, and I'm stupid for thinking plot is an allegory?
We're just all trying to get on the same page, and I'm trying to sort of, litigate that.
Well, you're all so educated in We've got I'm looking over here, I see an MFA from an Ivy League school. Over here, I see a BFA from an Ivy League school, you know. I'm seeing all sorts of education. In me, I didn't need school. Mm. I struggled with the standardized testing because it was so by the book.
I forgive.
Thank you.
Well, I must say, for someone who didn't have any formal education... excuse you.
I'm fine. Keep going.
For someone who didn't have any formal education, you've done pretty well for yourself. I mean, you do hold a conversation well. And, you know, if you ever have any questions, I'm happy to... Okay.
I understand everything.
Yeah, I know.
I understand everything. It's for the offer. Right. If you have questions, you know, nobody had any questions about Sandman when we read it. Or nobody had questions about Berenstain Bears. There were a lot of why this one.
Well, I think we had discourse about the books. We didn't have any questions for you. Maybe that's what your
discourse. Well, discourse right here is hummus and carrots. And
okay, discourse is hummus. That was a great joke. Let's give it up for D'Artagnan and his little joke.
Everybody. I wasn't joking. What were you talking about when you said discourse? Don't clap for me.
Discourse is another word for discussion, a dissection.
Oh, yes. I remember reading that, I believe.
See? Oh, we know a guy like this.
We know a guy
like
this.
We know guys like this.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
This is almost everyone I know. No offense to everyone I know.
Yeah, of course. Not you guys watching. Big opinions.
Big
little
opinions,
research.
Little research. Time to tell you. I'm trying to... I mean, this is a window that no one needs.
What?
Trying to play characters with the littlest amount of empathy some empathy for them and see if it's more fun. Instead of trying to play a guy who's purposefully an asshole.
Right.
Like play someone who on purpose... really thinks they're helping.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. But
no
it's
one
not.
Wants to be an asshole.
You know the secret is that he's not.
Right.
Right. Right.
But
right,
it's like,
right.
No, I want you all to know this.
Right. What is the, why does this guy know that he's not crazy?
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because I play a lot of people just trying to be the broadest.
Are you thinking about that lately? I know the other day you said you were in an acting class,
let's give
it up for Dan, everybody. Really pursuing his career. In acting, really, really taking it seriously.
I am thinking about it just generally. The woman who taught it or teaches it or whatever, the woman I'm working with, is an inherently empathetic person, and it almost feels like being in another therapy, where she brings up ideas about people and humanity that reframe the way, or not even reframe, but activate things I feel and think about, but I forget if I'm not talking to people about it.
Interesting.
Does that make sense?
I don't know. What do you mean?
This is kind of an offshoot of that idea, but I feel like there are certain ideas that us or in our friend group, we talk about certain types of things a lot. So they're really strong muscles, my awareness of them.
Right.
And then there's other things that like will come up and I'm like, oh, I feel that way. I believe that, but I am not constantly talking about it. And so that muscle's a little weaker almost.
Right.
Where it's like, just like feeling like pain for people and empathy and non-judgment. I think that I like define people a lot and define myself, which is a way to control and ultimately judge. It's like, even if it's trying to be empathetic, where it's like, oh, they do this because this, this, and this. Their parents were this way. They're scared of this, whatever, whatever, whatever.
It's a bunch of like intellectual judgments set up to like
define. Yeah, sure. And I can do that with characters.
Right.
Where it's like, ultimately, it's a definition and a judgment rather than like, oh, in this moment, this guy wants everyone to like him. Mm-hmm. And that's like sweet and sad.
Right. Right. Because the judgment inherently puts you in the situation rather than just being curious about the other person. It's like, they are this way because I need to know blank how I'm safe, if I want to hang out with them, if they're cool.
And it ultimately gives you nothing to know that.
Right.
There is no gain.
Right.
It
helps you make
just,
your personal decision only, I guess.
Yeah. Like the movie of your life that you're writing now has a little more backstory written down.
Right.
But while you're writing it, you're never experiencing
it. Right. Right. Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting.
But I think I have like, I am a very empathetic person, but I hold my empathy at arm's length a lot of times in a way that it's kind of gotten like boxed up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like trying to like open that up a little more and like able to like feel for people.
Right. Right.
Rather than like,
cause if you're
think
empathetic,
that I
and
feel
then,
for someone.
Uh-huh. Right. But if you're empathetic too often and too openly and it hurts you, then it makes you want to like, whatever. So knowing that you're not going to get hurt by opening up, that it's just like fear of it or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Pretty interesting. I like that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Are you working on it in other parts of your life or just through this class, like the empathy thing?
I think I'm trying to work on it in other parts of my life. I also don't. Sometimes I don't feel like I have many parts of my life because of the pandemic. I do. There's a lot going on, but it's like I do three things in a day and I feel crazy.
Right.
But to answer your question, yes, I am trying to. I think my instinct, if someone is telling me what's like talking to me, is to be like, to look for ways to solve it, control it, whatever.
How does this involve me?
Yeah.
Right.
To help and instead to like to actually look someone in the eyes and like hear them when they're telling you something about themselves is like very like hard on my stomach and like makes me want to climb outside of my skin. But it's kind of like the essence of being a person. And
why
so
do you
I'm
think it's so hard? What is the-
I think because I feel so vulnerable. You can't hide anything if you're looking in someone's eyes. You're like fully there.
Right.
And so like if someone says something that makes me sad, mad, annoyed, bored.
You're worried that they're going to see how you react.
Yeah.
Kinda? Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I think so.
Yeah. Makes sense.
It's scary to like see someone and to be seen.
Right. Because it can feel like, well, they're giving me all this energy. What do I do with it? Or what do I have to do something or say something back or... Yeah, it is a challenge to just like not have anything to say, to just go, oh,
yeah,
tell me more or whatever. I always want to know what I have to say, you know what I mean? Like, well, okay, and what do I think of it? It's like, did anybody ask?
Right.
Were we talking about that? Like, why does it always have to go back to what your part is?
Or
what,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And for me, I find that what'll happen when I'm working on myself in some sort of way is, let's say I'm like, okay, I'm kind of working on this empathy, is I'll be talking to somebody and I'll be like, okay, make sure you're being empathetic here. Make sure you're making eye contact so I'm still not present.
Right.
And what I'm really working on is just like feeling my body a little more. Even like, I noticed when we started this, I was like gripping my mic really hard and I was like, oh, what's that about? Or like, I think when I podcast, I don't really breathe.
Right.
I'm like up here the whole time. And it's like, that makes me feel so much easier. And then podcasting is fucking exhausting for me. And I think that's one of the reasons is I'm like, I am running a relay or I'm like running a sprint almost with my breath.
Hour.
Yeah. And it's like,
Right.
Sit in it, bro. Right.
It's so hard. I feel the same way with like the wanting to empathize thing or whatever. But then I realize sometimes that I'm doing like the exact opposite.
Mm.
Like I'm thinking about whether or not I am empathizing and I am whatever. And if mm-hmm. you're thinking about you, it's not thinking about them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
So it's like the judgment of whether or not I am empathizing or being empathetic actually keeps me from being present in that moment like you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm trying to be empathetic with them, but not at all with myself. I am judging whether or not I'm doing a good job at it.
Right.
Which is like a lack of empathy for like, yeah, you're a person trying their best. You don't have to like watch yourself with a magnifying glass all the time.
Yeah.
Which is how I can feel when I'm, quote, like working on myself or whatever. It's like, why does this feel like punitive or punishing? Or if you just keep focusing on you, regardless, just like let it go, you know?
Yeah, you're like, feel like you're being graded on every interaction.
Right, and I definitely am doing that for myself.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, it seems really important to me for whatever reason to like get A's at social.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But because of that, I absolutely do not. You know, like that's the paradox. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, because I'm putting so much pressure on doing well, that's not what doing well is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? At that thing.
Yeah, it's becoming, like, I think I used this terminology before, but like self-conscious.
Yes.
And you can't be present if you're self-conscious. Exactly. Because it's like, I think a golf swing is a good example of that. Is like, you get really bad because you're thinking about the whole swing. And I think the idea is you're supposed to learn to
naturally
be there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, that's definitely true with improv. If I'm like, what am I supposed to do here? Am I reacting right? It's like, I'm self-conscious, which means I'm inherently not aware of the other person.
Yes. Yes. It's its own other side of like narcissism or whatever.
Yeah.
I think.
Absolutely. Do we want to do a scene off of just a word?
Sure.
I'll just pull one off my phone. This wasn't planned.
Oh my God. Old school.
Old school.
Can we get a suggestion from the phone, please?
Because I'm an old fool. All right. I'll just pull up one of the random pages I have on my phone. 40 plus 4th of July sales that should be on your radar. 40
plus 4th of July sales. Hey, I came in because I saw your guys' ad in the paper. You guys were having a big 4th of July sale.
Mm-hmm. Welcome.
Thank you so much. But all I'm seeing is sort of like, I don't know how to describe it, like hip. Like hip clothes, like young people clothes, like sort of like what I see on like my kids' friends having on. I'm looking for something for like older guys. I'm looking for something for like 40 plus.
Okay. Well, I would say that here at, let's see, the name of this place is, I'm picturing the exact place that we are.
You're high on drugs because you're young.
It's not.
You're so young. You're stoned out on grass. Absolutely. And you can't even tell where you are. I'm in the wrong place.
I work two jobs now and I just, you're telling me
you're not stoned out on grass right now?
I'm not. No, I don't even call it grass. I actually get really anxious if I do smoke marijuana, so I don't really smoke.
All right.
This is a Ben Sherman, and we do feel that, you know, even though our styles are for kind of the young professional, they work for all ages. We don't we're not ageist here, so I think we could get you. What are you looking for, anything in particular?
Just something that's not so cool, you know?
Okay.
Something that's like, you know, look at me. I'm average. I'm normal, cormal.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I'm just a regular guy. I don't need a bunch of stripes and flashes. I don't need a bunch of logos. I just need something that's like Tommy Bahama size and fit, but with less going on.
Well, we do a lot. We do usually have like most of our stuff is kind of a quote slim fit cut. And so it does max out at a certain size.
I do not like to hear that, my man.
I understand.
That sounds like a young person type of thing.
I understand. And I want to help you out today because I think we can get you out of here.
Okay.
With something that you really feel good in.
I will try on 5 things that you pick out for me and give them an honest chance.
Okay. Now, can I ask, and I don't want to be judgmental, but based on what you're coming in here looking for,
Seems like you're about to be judgmental.
Well, it's going to come out as in the world of judgment, so we'll see. But what's your price range? Because we may be out of your price range here. We are, if you're looking for kind of normal caramel, as you said it.
Yeah, normal caramel. You're not out of my price range. Trust okay. me, I got a big fat wallet, and if I stand on it, I'd be taller than you. Okay? It's a big fat wallet.
Okay.
My price range is $100 a shirt.
What's that?
$100 a shirt. How about that?
$100 a shirt? All right, great. For the sale, we can probably get you in that range.
Okay.
So let's see. Just measuring you out here. I know you said that on your wallet you'd be taller than me, but it's looking like lengthwise on the arm. What's that, like a 20?
Yeah, 20-inch arm length.
Okay. Yeah, and let's see. I'm just going to go right
less
into
than
chest
2 feet.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I honestly don't know what's normal looking at my arm.
Yeah,
here.
Me either. I was thinking about what would be a normal.
What would be a normal arm?
I guess there is no normal, right?
That's right, and
just
that's what I'd like for you.
This body, I don't even care about sizes.
Okay,
just make it fit.
Can I ask? Is this for an event, or are you just trying to
just sort of sprucing up my spring clothes?
Love it. All right,
you know?
Here, let's try this right
spring
here.
Spring for next year.
Right, because it is late summer now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So great. So let's get a shirt. Let's do this shirt here. I really like this. I actually own this shirt. I wore it to a friend's engagement dinner the other night.
Ooh.
And so
how'd it go?
Just the shirt. The dinner,
yeah. The show. How'd the show go? The shirt go over.
I'm not see, and that's what we're talking about here. I think I'm not putting on a show when I'm getting dressed. I'm wearing what I feel comfortable in, and it went well. Yeah, nobody complimented it, but nobody insulted it.
That's
guess
exactly
I felt comfortable in my.
I don't want anybody to talk about it at all.
Okay,
I don't want it to be too cool.
Great. So yeah, let's try this one. Are you coming from? Is this an always belief, or did something happen to you recently that makes you feel this way?
What way?
That you don't want anyone to notice you at all.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to make noise too much. You know, I live right near a school.
I see.
And so I get made fun of often by the kids who see me because I'm not as cool as I used to be.
Oh.
So I don't want to pretend to be cool. I don't want to try to look like a kid. I want to look old so they know I'm not playing that game. You know what I mean?
Hey, Raj, there's your mail, and whoa, I like the new shirt. Very spiffy.
Hey, thank you very much.
Yeah, looking
good. Thank you. Yeah, what do you think?
I love
looking
it.
Good.
I love it. The color really makes your eyes pop. You look great.
Thank you.
It's a good fit for your body. It actually kind of fits to your shape.
Wow,
yeah.
Thank you. I didn't know that was a problem of mine.
Don't
that's
know why
awesome.
I said that.
That's exactly
what I
wanted to hear.
I don't know why I said
hear.
That last part.
Hey, that's okay. I mean, I think people have a hard time talking to me. I don't know what it is.
I've never felt that way. You've always been very nice. You shy away quickly.
Yeah. What, am I being weird?
No, well, no. I don't want to put you in your head.
Hey, you know what? I got to return this shirt. I'm sorry.
What happened?
Well, it started out great. Started out awesome. I got a big compliment from a guy. He said it fit my body, which was unusual. And I said, hey, I didn't want it to be that forward, but that's what I want. And then it went downhill quick. He said I was being weird. I ran inside and I started eating all the Cheez-Its in my house. And I just, the shirt, it was the shirt. I got to return the shirt.
I'm going to tell you something that I get a lot of guys in your situation coming in here.
Oh, okay.
The shirt is not a self-help book. The shirt is not therapy. The shirt is not a paint job.
Uh-huh. Well, I would never go to therapy. So, good.
Okay. I know a lot more about you than I know about most customers. I'm
well,
just going
to
give you that
to
piece
therapy,
of information.
Do you go to therapy?
Yeah, therapy really helped me out. Yeah, I was going through a lot.
What do you get from it?
What do I get from it? That's a good question. Well, mine is a cognitive behavioral therapist, and so we work on different things I can do and patterns that I have that and ways to
speaking of patterns,
do
you have any stripes?
So you'd want patterns now.
Maybe. I don't know. This last shirt was just the right amount of boring for me. And then I got that awesome compliment, and then I got scared, and then it didn't
work
out.
Hey, look, it's Waldo. Hey, Waldo, nice stripes.
Yeah. Yeah, that is Waldo over there, huh, kids? Loser!
You used to be so cool.
Me?
You're not as cool as you used to be.
Yeah, loser. We talk about the post office guy. Loser.
Hey, man, they're talking about you. Why are you? This is hurtful to me.
Post office guy. Am I? I gotta take the shirt back. This isn't working for me. Hey, sorry, man. I gotta give you the shirt back.
Hey, Roger. We are just opening the doors here. Sorry.
I know. 8:30 in the morning. I know exactly when you guys open. I gotta return this. I got in a big fight with a post officer and a high school kid at the same time.
Oh my god.
The high school kid started ragging on me, so of course I started ragging on the post office worker. And then he's trying to asking why I'm mad at him, and then we both start yelling at the high school kid.
Oh, you and the postal worker are yelling at a high school kid.
Well, I'm yelling at both of them with the other one. You know what I mean? Well, I'm with the kid yelling at the postal worker.
It sounds like you're getting yelled at here. And then you're, but hey, look, I want to fix this project, this project of you.
Uh-huh.
Here's what we're going to do.
Yes.
I don't think Ben Sherman can help you. I don't think this is the store. I also work at the Nordstrom Rack. If you want to come to the Nordstrom Rack.
Sounds
you'd be surprised,
cheap.
Actually. You'd think so, but it's cheaper than a Nordstrom, but still more expensive than a lot of regular clothing stores.
Okay.
Come on in. I'm there tomorrow opening until 2 p.m.
Okay.
So anytime in that window.
It's a short little work window. I love it. Good shift.
Well, yeah, I got to come here right afterwards. All right.
Hey, what's up, baby?
Hey, I'm just unlocking. We've got another 30 minutes to open.
I noticed you guys are open at 9:30. Well, yeah. 10, but I got here at 9:30.
Yeah, hey. So if you wanted to grab a coffee or something nearby or whatever.
I don't drink coffee. Stains the teeth. Stains the teeth, man. I can't do it.
Okay. Well, whatever is good for you.
So what, you just want me to sit out here for 30 minutes? What kind of shirt are you planning for me today?
I have to start setting boundaries with you, I'm learning.
Come on, we've been friends for, 10 years? We're best friends.
We have not been friends for 10 years. You bought a shirt for me.
Tell me we're friends at all. Tell me we're friends.
Oh, my God.
You'd be my only one.
Oh, my God.
A lot of pressure.
Yes. Okay. You can
come on. Be my only friend. I'm having pizza this Friday. I already ordered it. Come on. Come over.
It's Saturday.
Oh,
you ordered
the
a pizza
next
for
Friday,
6 days.
Next Friday. Well, pizza next Friday, next spring.
You want me to make plans with you 10 months in advance?
Yes.
No.
You're all right, only friend. Oh, no. Crying out in front of a Nordstrom's rack next to a Best Buy all day.
Hey, no, hey.
Hey.
Get the fuck out of here. I gotta
buddy.
Cut you off. We're not buddies.
This guy.
We're not buddies. Oh, God.
This guy.
Stop holding
man.
Me so close.
It's my buddy. There's nobody even out here. They're not.
No.
There's nobody out here. It's too early.
Hey.
Hey.
You gotta go. I can't have you coming in anymore. All right. This is part of my therapy experience is I'm realizing that I have a relationship in my life that I'm projecting onto you. I'm telling you more than I should for someone who is not my friend.
Pretty good friends.
Wait, how are we sitting at a Starbucks? What happened here?
I don't even drink the stuff.
that has coffee in it. It's practically a milkshake.
Scene. Another classic two-man with nowhere to go.
All of that off of one long suggestion.
Can you believe it, folks?
Remember
when we used to do, what are those called, pattern games?
Yeah, we did a few of those.
Yeah.
You want to do one? Is that
Let's
what you're saying?
A pattern game.
This For is those old of you improv. Who have not listened, we've done the pattern game before, which is an opening that you use for like the Herald, where you just, long story short, free associate off a suggestive word and then let that influence scene. So do we have a word around us? I'll take one right here. Kicker.
Field goal.
Upright.
Plane, airplane.
Like the team plane.
The kicker being the only person who has to sit and coach on a team plane.
Like the hierarchy, I guess, of a sports team.
Yeah. Great. You like that one, or should we keep
Let's
going?
Let's do it. I like that.
Great. All right, here you go, sir. Here you go. Here's your cocktail. And we have a Caesar salad with charred chicken on top, of course.
Thank you.
And for you, sir, your drink as well with your filet butterfly, of course. Folks, just let me know if you guys need anything else. I am happy to get it for you, okay?
All right, thanks so much.
All right, thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Okay, and kicker, here you go. We got peanuts and a warm Gatorade for you.
I'm sorry, I cannot hear you.
Yeah, you're going to have to stay behind the police line that's back there. We just don't want to, we don't have enough space up in the front.
All right, sorry, the order was, I think I didn't ask for the drink warm.
Oh, you wanted a cold Gatorade.
Well, yeah, or even just whatever you normally serve it as.
Here, toss me back the Gatorade. I'll see it if I can put it in the first class fridge for a little while and cool it down for you.
I can't toss it that far.
Sir, you can kick it if you need to. I can't believe you can't throw a football that far. I'm a flight attendant, and I can throw it farther than you, sir.
We don't work on the throws specifically for...
I was going to say, you're tiny.
Well, not my legs. My legs are big, and it's hard to sit and coach with legs like this.
All right. All right. I am
here,
so sorry.
I'll roll it to you. I'm afraid if I'm going to kick it, I might shank it like I did the game winner last night.
Oh, come on.
No, you saw it. I'm sure it's all over everywhere.
Well, unfortunately, we did all see it, and they are all kind of laughing about it up in first class. Fuck. I know you can't hear, but...
I wish they were mad at me. The fact that they're just laughing about it is like...
Right.
They don't even respect me enough to be upset.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, they're not letting you in at all. They're really keeping you closed out.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry.
Could you maybe go up there and say that I'm like making out with a hot star back here or something like that?
I don't think they'll believe it.
We'll say that.
Because who would it be? A hot star? Who would that be?
A down to earth one who wouldn't need to fly first class or, you know, who would that be?
Sir, you're the only person back here. I don't know what to tell you. Almost the whole team is up in front of that stanchion and you have to sit back here by yourself.
Okay. Well, tell them a hot star.
You know what?
Song.
I will tell you. Tell him you made out with a hot star.
Okay.
Me. I'll be right back. Hey, first class. How we doing, guys? Do we need anything else?
I don't know how you got a medium rare on this butterfly steak on a plane, but good God, it is cooked to perfection.
Hey, nothing but the best for our Tampa Bay boys.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Absolutely.
We were just laughing about last night when the kicker, you know the guy back there.
Yeah, he shanked it.
We shanked it so bad that it, and we all saw it hit Troy Aikman in the head, and now Troy Aikman has a big welt on his head.
Big welt.
We were just laughing about that.
God, you guys are the best. You have a great sense of humor. You're awesome tippers. I love flying with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Can I tell you a little something about me, just since we're having such a good convivial thing here?
Uh-huh.
I just made out with the kicker in the back. So I guess he's not that big of a loser.
You did.
I did. I sure did.
And wow.
He is hot. I'll tell you, he was kissing me all over. Because
he's like 23, and how old are you?
Well, I'm 46.
All right. A little bit of a May December there.
He's cool. That's all I'm saying.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
If anybody wants to go to the back, you are allowed back there. I told him he's not allowed up here, but he does actually have more space than you guys back there, and... He's getting made out with, so he's pretty cool.
Okay, well, yeah, I guess no offense, call us when he's making out with the one that's more his age here. Because it just seemed that you were laying it on a little thick when we all got onto the plane.
So you're saying I'm the worst flight attendant.
Yeah, well,
and I should maybe
go... one serving the guy a coach.
That is true.
And it's not an age thing. It's more just the age makes sense. It seems a little... You were so desperate on the way in for
us. Right.
You know, you tried to kiss all of us on the cheek.
Well, just don't forget, I was the guy that made out with the kicker, so you're going to be pretty sad when I'm gone. So
we also didn't know he made out with dudes, which, you know, it's a little shocking for us.
I'm going to go check on my guy. Okay? Jerk.
Okay.
They love you up there. They love you. Oh, yes. They love the makeup.
Because I thought it would be so weird if they thought I made out with you. Like, once you left, I realized
it. It went over great. They love us both.
Really?
They love us both. That's why they sent me back here, to let you know that they love you, but they want you to keep your distance.
Okay. Okay. Do you think maybe because of this, you know, if they're a little more impressed with me, maybe I can take my luggage out of the smallest container in the far back, because I think it's really stuffed in there and getting crunched.
We actually,
and there are some open other ones.
Unfortunately, we need that there for the weight balance. There's so many people up in first class in the front that we have to put as much of the luggage as far in the back as possible.
Uh-huh.
But if you wanted to make out a little bit more with the second best flight attendant... And I know we didn't actually make out.
Yeah, no, thank
you. They dissed me really hard for associating with you up in first class. I'm going to apologize. I tried to speak up for you, make you seem cool by making out with the hottest flight attendant. Well, third hottest flight attendant on this flight. And I was humbled. I was humbled by them letting me know that I was... I guess I didn't realize my role. You and I have a lot in common.
Well, no.
I shanked dropping off a drink earlier, and I spilled it all over that. Tom Brady.
You shanked that.
And I shanked throwing that Gatorade to you, and you shanked the big kick the other night, it sounds like.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the captain speaking. We are having some trouble with the weight balance, so we just want to remind you, in the back of the plane, we can't be flushing the toilets anymore. We need to keep those all filled up to keep the weight balance. And if everyone in the front has to do any heavy business, feel free to do your heavy business in the back of the plane.
Does the pilot really have to announce that? Because I've been telling him that's not fair.
That is not fair.
I have been sending the first class guys back here to crap.
Yeah. And I'm right by the toilet, for the weight balance.
Right.
Can I ask? I'm not even going to ask. I'm just going to complain. I'm an NFL kicker. There's only 26 of us, right. Maybe 30.
Mm-hmm.
I get paid hundreds of thousands of dollars. Thousands now. I got my max contract extension for a kicker.
Good.
Which means I can get endorsements from any turf company on the East Coast.
They limit your endorsements and your contract?
Well, they want you taking endorsements away from the mascots and the
I didn't realize you guys were beneath people that aren't even on the team.
Yeah, I don't know if you watch a lot of, but if you do see a commercial with a football player that's not a huge name,
right,
it's probably going to be the mascot. It's rarely the kicker unless the joke is like, there's the commercials where I'm getting run over by the cars and stuff.
I love those.
Do you?
I think those are so funny.
Yeah.
It's funny you mention that because one time I was on a plane and they made me get off and do some of the baggage on the tarmac from underneath.
Yeah.
I got run over by the baggage car 4 or 5 times. You know how they always turn in circles? I don't know why they're always turning in circles, trailing that little caboose.
Well, the cart is connected to the car. Oh, you know that part of it.
Yeah, I know that part.
I guess I never thought of why they're going in circles. Maybe just to stay moving on the... I never noticed why that was happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, if it's going in a circle, I mean, it sounds like it was just a thing and it's unfixable for you. But my big recommendation would be get out of the way, I guess, because it's going to be in the same spot over and over again.
Oh, thanks, kicker. Oh, thanks, kicker.
Which one?
I guess I would have said that to you when you got fucking tackled hard by Warren Sapp in the beginning of your career. But I wasn't there, was I?
Okay.
You don't know other people's struggle. I was back here to help you. I'm better than you. I'm going to go up front.
This wasn't helpful at all. This wasn't helpful at all, and I still want my cold Gatorade.
Hang on a second. Why is this locked? Hey, why am I locked out of first class? I work here.
Who is it?
It's not the kicker.
Well, who is it then?
it's the hottest flight attendant in the game.
No, they're both on this side.
Come on, let me in, please. I left my beef stroganoff up front. Please, I left my beef up front. I left my beef in the front.
Well, it's your third stroganoff of the day, so maybe.
It's a long flight from Seattle to Portland, okay? It is a long flight.
That is 2 hours max. You've had 3 stroganoffs.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
No more beef for you, okay?
Oh, coming from one of what sounds like the biggest guys on the team.
Oh, okay. Well, I have to eat to keep to size. What do you do for it? Do it for what? Four.
Okay, this guy can't read. Let me in first class. Let me in. I work here. I do it to stay energized in the sky. Okay?
In some sad news today, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers plane went down just over Portland. We lost 140 brave souls, and what I'm being told is the ugliest flight attendant and the worst kicker of all time. A shame for most of them. funeral services will be held at the nice cemetery.
Now that's one funeral I have no interest in going to. Don't even know those guys from out of town.
One of the hardest things for me to do is improvise the news.
Yeah, it is really hard, right?
Because it's like such a tone and a cadence, and they don't take pauses. So once right. you do, it's immediately unusual.
Right. You really have to know what you want to say immediately.
Immediately.
You know, I haven't been offered to go to a lot of funerals.
No.
I'm not invited to a bunch of them. But it does seem like something that it's kind of okay to not want to go to a lot.
Oh, yeah. I think you're right about
Unless
that.
Unless you're really connected, I don't want to go to a funeral.
No. I mean, it's very, it's long. And it's sad, and you're just kind of there. And
your relationship with that probably changes the older you get.
Yeah, probably.
But as a young person who's like, I'm not ever going to die. I don't want to go to a death party.
Yeah.
I think, like, my dad goes to a lot now that he is, like, knows a lot of people that are having them, I guess. And I think it's a great way to connect with everybody from your common life that is still around. You know what I mean? But I'm like, whew, too scary.
Yeah. You know? I think it is scary to like, I am constantly avoiding the idea of death. So I don't want to go sit in the idea of it.
Right.
But you also probably, if you're lucky enough to get older, think about your funeral more. Like, I'm never thinking about what do I want people? I just assume I will have people. Like,
right.
Like, in 50 years, all the relationships I assume I'm still going to have, I'm not going to have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I want it to be like a surprise party.
Yeah.
Someone else throw it.
Yeah.
I don't know any of the details.
We're going to throw your funeral for you.
Yeah, I hope you do.
Yeah.
I hope you don't, but somebody does. I hope you're long dead.
Yeah, I hope.
By the time I
hope. And I hope you die before me.
Oh, what a treat. What a treat that will be.
I'm going to try one here.
Great.
Harlan dreaded this day, his funeral. I mean, we all do, but the funeral specifically. And he wanted me to speak on some of his hopes and expectations for the funeral. Harlan wanted his funeral to be happy and fun and a celebration of life. I don't know. I'm pretty sad. So I don't know how everyone else here feels about that, but I'd actually like to remember and take time to acknowledge the loss of Harlan. I didn't know how to make the funeral fun. I did my best. But what I'd like to speak on is the loss. And he was a dear, dear friend. He would always, every Sunday, he would bring me whatever treat he was baking for that weekend. And I'm just really going to, I'm going to miss his presence.
Thank you.
Harlan, I'm sorry I couldn't have done a more fun eulogy wherever you are.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Those are beautiful words, and we really appreciate you sort of putting this whole thing together and running this thing.
Mm.
I talked to Harlan a lot about today. He also told me that he wanted it to stay sort of lighthearted, funny. But I think like a lot of us, he was the light in our lives, and it doesn't really feel the same without him, so I don't feel like being funny.
Mm.
I did write a series of jokes that I would like to read for Harlan's sake that I couldn't quite get through all of. Number one. What's black, white, and red all over? Who cares? Harlan's dead. Number two. What do you get when you mix an apple, an orange, and a zebra? Who cares? I miss when Harlan would yell at referees at basketball games.
Yes.
Number three, if a train is traveling 80 miles an hour from Los Angeles and 80 miles an hour from New York and they meet in the middle.
Sounds maybe like a math problem so far.
I lost the joke setup. Harlan's gone. I can't be happy without a Harlan, and all I want to think about is the death of it. I'm sorry, I relinquished the rest of my time.
Hi, everybody. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Dale.
Hi. Look, like most of you, Harlan spent a lot of the last few years of his life telling me what he wanted his funeral to be. And I didn't know if I could do it. And now I'm standing up here, dressed like Genie, all blue, from Aladdin, and I just don't feel the comedy. I thought maybe the outfit would bring it to me, but my blue makeup is smeared with my own tears. I never had a friend like you, Harlan, and I was going to do a whole, I guess I'll still do my rewrite of the song, which I don't even know very well.
It's okay, I'll take over. I'll take over. I think we all miss Harlan.
Okay, I yield my time. Thank you.
Reclaiming his time. I think we all want to be funny for Harlan. So these are the seven words you can't say at a funeral. Cocksucker, motherfucker, shit, pussy. I can't finish. I miss Harlan. I miss Harlan. He was spent 2 years. Every Sunday we would go to brunch and he would outline what he wanted in his funeral every Sunday. And we're hitting a lot of it. We got the Genie, of course. We got the Carlin impersonator, of course.
Yeah, you did great.
There was some setup punchline jokes. But I think what Harlan really wanted to see most was the Jerky Boys reenacted live in person. And I don't think we should keep that from him and his dead body, which the coroner forgot about.
Yes, well, probably the funniest thing that happened, but it was not funny to me. I wanted to say my last respects, but the coroner forgot the body.
Forgot the body in total, didn't do any work on him, let him just rot to stink.
He said there's some bureaucracy going on and he's got to get to the bottom of it, but we paid him. We paid
apparently Harlan didn't get all the permits to get done the way he wanted to.
He thought so much about his funeral.
You see, Harlan wanted to be taxidermied like a dog.
Yes.
But you got to get a big permit for that. So he could only get put in a jar like a frog with formaldehyde.
Oh, Harlan.
Harlan,
okay.
You were hilarious.
It's time to prank call somebody for Harlan.
Does anybody have a number of a foe they would like to have prank called for Harlan's
funeral?
Okay,
not everybody at once. We can only pick one.
You, miss. You. Who would you like us to call?
Yes, the parrot store. I want you to call the parrot store because they sold me a lemon of a parrot.
Yes, I can see him on your shoulder dead right now and it's not going to be
well,
funny.
Well, I killed him. He was alive when I got him, but... I could call them.
All right, well, let's dial up the parrot store and see if we can give him a classic Jerky Boys for Harlan.
Ring. Hello, thank you for calling. You squawking to me.
Hey, I'm squawking to you. You got a leak on your roof?
Are you a leak?
I got a leak
company?
On my roof.
Okay, I think you might have the wrong.
My name is Frank. Okay. And you're a piece of shit. You got any birds on your roof?
No, all the birds are... Frank, well, do you have an issue with me or what's going on here, Frank?
Here's my issue. My friend Harlan is dead. And he wanted me to call you about the leak in your roof. But only thing is leaking is my eyes. I can't even pull off the Jerky Boy.
I'm sorry for your loss. I don't understand some
well,
of what you said.
Well, that's not a very good apology.
Well, you called
Click.
Me...
Ha-ha! Not satisfying.
Harlan! Harlan! We'll do our final send-off for Harlan. The roast...
of Harlan Williams.
Scene. You all know Harlan Williams, Rocket Man
Mr.
himself.
Rocket Man. I love him.
Yeah.
He's funny.
I'd like to see him in something again soon.
I'm so curious to what would it be like to have lunch with him? Is he like is he in character? Or
yeah.
Does he just go, hey, how you doing?
I don't know. You get the impression those 90s stand-up kind of guys are always on a little bit.
A little kooky.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, good
but
for them.
But maybe he'd be down to earth and chill. Harlan Williams, if you're listening, let us know what you like.
Yeah, I wonder if he listens to the podcast.
Let's get him on an episode.
We could. You could. Why not?
Well, Ryan.
Well, Dan.
Harlan Williams isn't here, but you are. I am.
You are.
And it's been a laugh of a funeral.
It's been a laugh riot. Folks, thank you so much for listening to Man Dog Pod. I think that brings us to the end of the comedy and almost the end of the episode.
That's right. All we need to do to end this episode is really say goodbye, and then it's all done. Obviously, keep checking out our Monday episodes. If you're in the $5 Little Pups tier, consider becoming a Big Dog or a Boss Hog for $8 or $15.
Whoa.
We do extra episode a month on for those tiers. Really, the $15 is just if you love us and you want to support us, but that's the $8 gets you that extra stuff, too.
And a continuous thanks to everybody who's been riding with us, especially all through the pandemic.
Yes.
And before, it's been so fun to get to do comedy with my buddy Dan here.
And I feel the same way about my buddy Ryan, who, by the way, just the last night, you're looking tan today.
Thank you. I took an hour and a half walk this
morning. That's right. That's right.
So it might have been all from today.
The walk. Well,
I hope I'm not burnt.
It doesn't
well,
look,
that's for another episode.
Yeah, we'll check in about Ryan's possible burn, and wow, a cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger. Folks, thank you so much, of course, to Casey Traylor for our music, Annie Wu for our logo, and our genius editor-producer, Brian Holmes, for doing the whole show.
Yes, thank you for doing the whole show, Brian Holmes, and again to Annie and Casey, and for everyone for listening, and you, Ryan. Goodbye.
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 Goodbye.